tonight. One verse, chapter 29, verse 20. So 29, 20, let's all read on this one verse together. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom in your word. Help us to heed it, Lord, to meditate upon the truths. Let them become a part of our very being. Help us, Lord, that we might live, Lord, your word and be faithful to it. Thank you for the opportunity to sit and to hear it taught and preached tonight. Meet with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
What a great verse this is. Tonight's Bible study has a title, and it's simply this: A Man Hasty in His Words. A man hasty in his words. A man who speaks before he thinks has little or no hope, the Bible says. Solomon teaches his son Rehoboam this truth, and it says, Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. You might think that's, a trite statement. But the interesting thing is God chooses every word in the Bible on purpose and with purpose. And he chose the word fool here. And what is a fool? It's interesting. A fool has more hope than a man who's hasty in his words. The word fool, listen very carefully. This is what it means, a dense, I almost chuckle at this. It means a dense or a stupid individual with disregard to everything that is right. Very interesting. The Bible, the definition actually says that he's stupid. I remember when I was preaching in Argentina years ago. Brother Penn, you may have been with me on that trip. I don't remember if you were on that one or not. But he might have been. But I started saying something about the word stupid. And I said it a few times. And Brother Owens pulled me aside and said, don't use the word stupid here. It really has a bad meaning. I thought, oh, well, that's great. And so I stopped using the word stupid. But the word fool here means someone who's stupid with a disregard to what's right. And the fool spoken of here is the person whom God considers to be stupid. Now, if God calls somebody a fool, he's a fool. But if God says somebody's stupid, then he's stupid. Stupidity is defined in this verse as a person who is stubborn in that on which he has set his heart. Just a stubborn fool. The stupid person will be careless with his words, disregarding any end result of what he may say, disregarding any carelessness that he may have or use, and he is the one who cannot be moved by reason or by counsel. Very interesting. God chose this word. And this particular word that is found here for the word fool in Proverbs 29:20 is used 49 times in the book of Proverbs. And there are a number of different words that are translated fool in our English Bibles, but the one that is used here is used 49 times in Proverbs. Now, what I'm going to do, if you receive the outlines, you're not going to want to try to write down all of these references. But let me just give you a spackling, not all 49 times, but a spackling of the word fool found in the book of Proverbs. And all I'm going to do is give you the chapter number and the verse, and then I'm going to read the part. 1:22, fools hate knowledge. 1:32, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. 3:35, shame shall be the promotion of fools. 8:5, ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. 10:1, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. 10:18, excuse me while I cough. 10:18, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. 12:23, the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. 13:16, a fool layeth open his folly. 13:19, it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. That's an interesting thought right there. For a fool to depart from his mischief and his foolishness is an abomination to him. Interesting. 13:20, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Better be careful who you run with. 14 and verse 7, go from the presence of a foolish man. 14 and verse 8, the folly of fools is deceit. 14:16, the fool rageth. 14:24, the foolishness of fools is folly. 15 and verse 2, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. 15:7, the heart of the foolish doth not sow, and is talking about dispersing knowledge. 15 and verse 14, the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. 15 and verse 20, a foolish man despiseth his mother, thinks very little of his mother. 17:12, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. 17:21, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. 17 and verse 24, the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mother calleth for strokes. 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. 19 and verse 10, delight is not seemly for a fool. 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. 19:29, judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the backs of fools. 21 and verse 20, a foolish man spendeth it up, and is talking about his treasures. In other words, he's a waster. 23 and verse 9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. 26:1, honor is not seemly for a fool. 26:3, a whip for the horse's back, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And 26:5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. That's only a few of the verses that are found in the book of Proverbs that use the same word for fool. Someone who's stupid, someone has a disregard for anything that is right, one who refuses counsel of any kind. And I don't mean he refuses counsel because you suggest it to him. I mean he won't hear counsel, period, end of report, no matter where it comes from, whether it be from a pulpit or a teacher or a mom or a dad or an aunt or an uncle or a wise grandpa or a wise grandma. It doesn't matter who it comes from. He refuses to hear it. Now, I just use the word fool a lot in this already. I know you didn't write it down, but those of you who get the outlines, you'll have all of these, and then you can do your own study. But all of these F's in these verses about fools reminds me of the prodigal son in the key of F, which goes something like this. Francis the Foolish, a feather-brained fellow, felt a filial fondness for his flawless, fastidious father, Ferdinand IV. Following one February fortnight, Francis, feeling frisky, footloose, and fancy-free, forced his fond father to fork over 545 farthings of the family's finances, then fled his father's fertile fief. Fleeing to foreign fields, Francis finally frittered away his fortune on fickle females, firkins of foaming ale, freeloading friends, and fastidious feasting. Fleeced by those fiendish fellows of the flesh pots, and facing fateful failure and famine, Francis finally found himself flinging foul feed to the swine in the filthy farmyard as a forlorn farmhand. Foot sore and famished, he fain would have filled his flaccid frame full with filched food from that was found it fit only for the footman. Fee! Flared Francis. My father's flunkies fare far fancier. Fortunately, the frazzled fugitive finally faced the facts. Frustrated from his failure and filled foreboding, he fled forthwith to his faraway family. Falling fatigued at his father's feet, Francis feebly phrased his feelings. "Father," he fumbled, "I have flunked and fruitlessly forfeited family favor. Forgive me." The far-sighted father, forestalling future family fishers, flagged his flunkies. "Fetch a fatling from the flock and fix a feast for Francis. Forthwith, fall to faster." Frederick, the feculent, Francis' feisty, fault-finding brother, frowned upon his father's forgiveness of Francis' former philandering. "Flog the flounder," he fumed. But the faithful father felt that Francis' former foibles forever be freely forgiven. "Filial fidelity is what fathers are for, Frederick," said Ferdinand with feelings flowing. "Forsooth, the fugitive is found. So what forbids fancy festivity? Fly the flags freely amid fifes, fiddles, and fanfares. Fling a feast." Francis' face flushed forswore frippery forever, more by forcing his frame into a father's frock. Fini. What a marvelous story. Isn't that good? I've never understood the prodigal son quite like this, but I've enjoyed it very, very much. But anyway, this kind of a fool that the Bible speaks of has no regard for what is right, you see. He is filled with impiety. His decisions are made from his desires. And I know of no one in this room or listening to my voice who desires to be a fool of any kind. You see, yet, what a terrible description of an individual. And when God calls a man a fool, he's a fool. You can count on it. It's not a matter of somebody has an opinion. God says this individual is a fool. And the truth is, what a terrible description he has, and the Bible has nothing good to say about a fool or his foolishness. Think about that for a moment. The Bible says nothing positive about a fool. Yet Solomon makes an interesting observation concerning the fool, and he says that this kind of a fool is, and let me give you a few things that he says about him. He's one who is dense or stupid with a disregard for that which is right. He is one whom God considers to be stupid. He is one who is stubborn in that on which he has set his heart. He is one who is careless with his words, disregarding the end result of his carelessness, and one who cannot be moved by reason or by counsel or even common sense. The Bible says that he has more hope than a man who is hasty in his words. That's a strong statement. A man who's hasty in his words has less hope than a fool. What a description of an individual. It's obviously a conclusion that is, that since a fool has more hope in this life than does a man with hasty words, we ought to do what we can not to be hasty in our words. That's the warning that's given. And Solomon's giving that to his son because he's going to be a king. He's going to make decisions. And he may make decisions quickly without thinking through or without going to both sides of a story, so to speak. And we got to remember that there is little or no hope for those who speak hastily in any matter. Got to be careful. Now, this is well stated in Proverbs 18:13. It says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Isn't that interesting? Says you, before you have all the facts, before you have what's going on and you don't know the whole story, if you speak before you know, the Bible says here that it is folly and a shame. And perhaps this is why this truth is carried over into the New Testament. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Hasty words are most often associated with a multitude of words. Let me say it again. Hasty words are often associated with a multiple of words. Proverbs 10 and verse 19 says, in the multitude of words. Now listen carefully. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. I like what Abraham Lincoln said, and this is almost an exact quote. It's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Abraham Lincoln had it right. So with these admonitions, I want to give you some practical applications without having to explain them a whole lot. Reading the verses about a fool tonight and understanding that what God thinks about a fool, that he is stupid, that he is an individual who will not be counseled, he is stubborn in his heart, he's all of these things, but he says a man who's hasty in his words has less hope than a fool. So, let me give you seven, if I can. I want to give you seven admonitions. Number one, listen more than you speak. You have two ears and one mouth. Listen more than you speak. You have two ears and one mouth. Number two, listen to all the facts before you form an opinion. Listen to all the facts before you form an opinion. And by the way, that's hard for us because we're all opinionated. I mean, we really are. In that area, many of us are fools because we're stubborn in what we've already set our mind on. And so we shouldn't be that way. Listen to all the facts before you form an opinion. Number three, listen to all the facts before you make a decision. Listen to all the facts before you make a decision. I have gotten phone calls from men who are seeking a place to serve the Lord over the years. And they will call me and say, Brother Parton, Pastor Parton, Pastor Dan, or whatever they might call me on a particular phone call. And they will say, I'm being considered for a particular position in a particular church. What do you think? And what is your opinion? Here's what I say. Ask the hard questions. And they'll say, what do you mean? I said, ask the hard questions, where they stand on issues that you are strong in, or what you would do if a particular issue came up. I said to one man, God bless his heart, and I'm glad he took my opinion. This is many, many years ago. I said, you can break in your life every preference you have, but you can't break a conviction. So ask the hard questions before you accept a position in any church. What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about soul winning? What do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about Christian conduct? What do you believe? And I said, just start asking questions, and don't be afraid to ask the hard questions that you need to get an answer from. You see, it's very, very important. So listen to all the facts before you make a decision. Number four, listen to no gossip. It will cause you to think and speak hastily. Listen to no gossip. It will cause you to think and speak hastily. It's amazing how somebody can poison your mind by saying, did you hear about so-and-so? Or I know this, but I don't know if it's true. Or sharing a prayer request. I want you to pray for brother so-and-so. Not your business. Not your business. Because if you're not careful, you will form an opinion about an individual because of gossip that comes your way. Oh, I've told this illustration too many times, but I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Went to a preacher's meeting down in Tennessee with my pastor and some other people that were on staff. And we were sitting at a table, and there was a pastor. I knew the man. I know him to this day. Haven't talked to him in years. He's going around from one table to the next spreading gossip about an individual. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what he did? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? And finally got to our table, and he started telling us what he had told all the table in this huge lunchroom, table after table after table after table filled with men and men of God, maybe even women of God who were there with their husbands. And he was spreading gossip. I just couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. Listen to no gossip. Where did it come from? Number five, listen to no criticism, because it will also cause you to think and speak hastily. Listen to no criticism. And by the way, nobody is above criticism, okay? Nobody. Number six, be diligent to know the facts or leave the matter alone. Be diligent to know the facts or leave the matter alone. Man came to me when I was living in Casper, Wyoming, an old illustration that fits the message tonight. He started criticizing my former pastor. He did very strongly. And my pastor is standing here, and this man is spreading this gossip and this criticism. And I looked at that man who was old enough at that time to be my father, and I was young enough to be his son. And I said, number one, I said, did you call him and ask him how he handled it? He said, no. I said, did you make an appointment to go see him and ask him how he handled it? He said, no. I said, did you write him a letter asking him how he handled it? He said, no. Every answer he gave me was no. Then my finger right there grew about 6 feet long, just like Nathan's with David. And I stuck it in that man's face, and I said, don't you ever criticize my pastor ever again. And he said, okay. And he never did to me again. And the thing was, he had done nothing to substantiate anything. He had only listened to gossip and listened to criticism. That's all that he did. And ladies and gentlemen, that was wrong on every count. So number six was be diligent to know the facts or leave the matter alone. Number seven, if you are one who speaks hastily, be prepared to be shamed. If you are one who speaks hastily, be prepared to be shamed. Then you got to live with that. And this is a weak point for many believers. It's easy to make quick judgments based on past experience without hearing the facts given in a particular matter. It's a weakness that all of us have, and we've all been guilty of it. It is always wise for believers to learn to speak without haste. You know, did you know that you don't have to have an opinion about everything? And did you know that your opinion is not important to everybody? The truth of the matter is, sometimes it's good just to keep your mouth shut and keep it shut completely. While it is true, a quick answer may be the right... Listen to this. It may be true that a quick answer might be the right answer, but it may not always be the right answer. That's what you've got to remember. Sure, sometimes a quick answer is going to be exactly what needs to be said, but it's not always that way. And Solomon plainly teaches us that it will be a folly, that is really stupid and a shame if we speak hastily. He told that to his son. When you've got to make a decision, son, think through it. Give it thought. Make it a matter of prayer. Don't just jump into it with your opinion. And don't speak hastily. It's still true today. When we speak hastily, it not only is stupid on our part, but it's also shameful to speak hastily. And I've been in many conversations in times past where I've just stood and listened and not said a word. And I do that on purpose. And that's just the way it is. Because sometimes my opinion might cause a fight or some kind of dissension or might be something that I should not say at that particular time. So I'll just remain quiet. And I know I've been criticized for that in the years past. I know that for a fact. Why don't you say something? Well, I'm just listening. I'm waiting for the whole thing to go down. And I think that's wise for all of us. And Solomon was teaching his son who was yet to be king. He was going to be a king. He wasn't going to be a court jester. He wasn't going to be a clown of any kind. He wasn't just going to be a subject in the kingdom. He was destined to be king. Did he listen to his father's advice? No, he did not. Did he split a kingdom? Yes, he did. Did he ruin the testimony of God's people and of the Lord? Yes, he did. But it does not negate the advice that his father gave him. He said, son, there's better hope of a fool than if you speak out of turn and before you have all the facts. Did he learn it? Nope. But I think we can learn it. I think we can.